In North America, the vast majority of small central offices were served by step-by-step switching equipment. There was, however, a significant number of them which were served by another type of switch, the all-relay switch. There's not a lot of information out there as to what manufacturers and types of all-relay switches there were, but one we know of for sure is the CX-1000 made by North Electric, and there did seem to be quite a number of them. We know for sure that Pinetown, North Carolina, was an all-relay switch, but the type and manufacturer on that is not for certain. It does, however, have something in common with another all-relay switch, Port Royal, Virginia, in that each of them have a strange busy signal slash reorder with an impulse timing that is sort of a compromise between the standard timings. It's faster than 60 impulses per minute, but slower than 120. Here's the Pinetown busy slash reorder tone. Here's the corresponding tone from Port Royal, Virginia. Though the timing is not exactly the same, it's pretty close, suggesting that these two are related in some way. Now, Benson, Vermont is a confirmed CX-1000 made by North Electric. There's no doubt about that. That's where we first heard of it. And Benson, Vermont makes a certain noise when you connect to the final switching stage. That noise is... This is fun. Each individual unit seems to have a different signature. My point is that Port Royal, Virginia, a confirmed all-relay switch, although the manufacturer is not known, makes a very similar noise when you call into it from Bowling Green, Virginia, and that noise is... In both Benson, Vermont and Port Royal, Virginia, you hear that kind of a sound as you dial the thousands digit of the phone number. You also connect to the phone line and can actually hear it when you dial the sixth digit of the phone number in both Benson, Vermont and Port Royal, Virginia. That's some pretty strong circumstantial evidence to suggest that they're made by the same manufacturer. Maybe they are all North Electric all-relay switches. But the only thing we know for sure is that Pinetown and Port Royal are not steps. They have to be all-relay switches of some kind. And Benson, Vermont, the one being discussed in this program, is a North Electric CX-1000. Now, in order to find that out, Bill and I, who lived in New York at the time, had to have a reason to ask. What would have triggered us to ask about this tiny little central office in Vermont that we did not visit, but just happened to call into? Well, it was this. We liked to SF on various step tandems in the long-distance network. The SFing process is described in the long-distance series, if you've heard it. I first do it in Program 14, and then again in Program 15. Well, there was a Bell System step tandem in Rutland, Vermont, which Bill and I had both played with, and there was something very unusual about it. All you had to do was reset the trunk and then dial a 5, and this is what would happen. Now, this is very unusual. I've SF'd, that is, remotely controlling a telephone switch using a 2600Hz tone from my home, on a number of different tandems, and never, never has there been a dial tone that suddenly came on when you dialed a digit or two. I had heard of something like this in the Vancouver, British Columbia step tandem, but by the time I had joined the Phone Freak clan, that step tandem had mostly been replaced by a 4A, making it almost impossible to SF on it freely, as had been possible in, say, 1970. So this, for me, was something quite unique. And to make it even more interesting, if on this dial tone you then dialed a 6, you'd get another one. Now, when I originally used to play with this back in, like, 1972, there were even more dial tones which could be accessed by dialing more digits. On this dial tone, you could dial something else, I think a 4, and that would go to another dial tone. And you could actually go around and around a little bit, almost stacking, although you'd run out of good links pretty quickly. Well, it turned out that the dial tone on the 5 level of Rutland didn't have anything to do with Rutland. It was coming from some little independent office to the west of Rutland in a place called Benson. And then the other dial tone was coming from some other office out from Benson, and so on. By the time I did record SFing on the Rutland Tandem in 1974, not all the dial tones were still there. In fact, those two are the only ones that remained. But fortunately, in 1976, I ran into something that was even better. Not a tandem, but a tie line network. While it's unusual to find dial tones on a tandem, if you're SFing a tie line network, that's a whole other story. Here's a little sample of the 1976 recording, where I did get to have a great time exploring a tie line network. You'll hear me reset a trunk, get a dial tone, and then dial a code, which will lead to another dial tone. I'll dial a code on that, which will lead to another, and I'll dial a code, which will lead to another, and the dial tones will keep getting fainter and fainter because it's actually building a phone call, stacking so far down that by the last one you can barely even hear the tone. Those last two dial tones were barely audible. As I said, that was not a tandem but a tie line network, but it does give you an idea of what it was originally like to SF through Benson, Vermont. So obviously it generated a lot of interest. I never did find out what those dial tones were. It may have been a little private tie line network that the phone company set up for testing purposes. It's quite possible that the incoming trunks from the Rutland step tandem had a dual function. Rutland would always dial the second two digits of the office code, 37, but only a test man would ever dial anything else. So they could have set it up so that the same equipment that handled the incoming calls from the Rutland tandem also worked as a test access. In any event, when I got to Benson, Vermont, in the summer of 1978, the dial tones that had gotten me interested in the place were nowhere to be found except for the initial dial tone of picking up a phone, which, as it turns out, was blastingly loud. Here's an intra-office call. The dial tone was so loud that any details after that first digit are completely lost in the tape noise. But you did hear the dial tone burst at the end of the first digit, which is a 5. There's probably a subtle tick there, but it won't record on this tape because the dial tone is so loud. As I dial the next two digits of the office code, each one will make sort of a step-absorbing noise, but the digit logic in this office was remarkably complex. To say that it was unlike the logic of step is an understatement. Anyway, here's the 3 and the 7 of the 537 office code. The tape noise is still atrocious at this point, but now it's gotten sensitive enough that you can hear there's a hum and a slight dial tone sound on the phone line. Now here is where it really sounds like a CX-1000 as we dial the thousands digit of the phone number. Now just as when we called into Port Royal, Virginia, the hum has gotten louder now that we're on that final connecting stage. When we dial the next two digits, this part of the switch will not only select the line, it will busy test it and connect us to it. There, we're on the subscriber's phone line, and we haven't even dialed the whole phone number yet. In just a second, you're going to hear a motor start up. This has nothing to do with the switch. This is somebody in Benson, Vermont using power equipment, and it's coming through on the line somewhere. It'll be on a lot of these phone calls. But it wasn't uncommon to hear sounds like this on my home phone line in Long Island when it would be hung up. I'd hear vacuum cleaner motors very typically, or blenders. But anyway, here's the last digit, and it just so happens that a motor starts up right before I dial it. if we call that number again, except we change the last digit from 1 to 2, we can get the same line with a different ring signal. I love that sound on the thousands digit. Now two more and we'll be on the line. And here we are on the same phone line. You can hear other phones being picked up in the neighborhood. If you listen real carefully, you'll hear somebody getting a dial tone and dialing a digit right here. There it was. And now I'll dial a 2 as the last digit. I guess the sound of that subscriber picking up was a little hard to hear. Here it is enhanced a bit. Here's the same phone line called with the last digit 3. On this call and the remaining calls to this office, I'm mostly going to be dialing things other than 537, which end up going to the same place. What I was doing was demonstrating the digit logic of this CX1000 all relay system. Unfortunately, my notes for exactly what I dialed got lost, and this automatic electric payphone so mutes the dial pulses that I can't tell from the tape what it is that I'm dialing. So I did write down everything, including the digit logic of the office. But sadly, I can't tell from the tape exactly what I'm dialing. You can tell that I'm dialing the thousands digit of the phone number, of course, whenever you hear that distinctive CX1000 connecting noise. So if you dial a 1 as the last digit of the phone number, you get a single ring. If you dial a 2, you get 2 short rings. If you dial a 3, you get 4 short rings. Let's see what happens on the digit 4. So that's long, long, short. This is reminiscent of ancient party lines where you actually had to ring your neighbors with the magneto using patterns like that. So now let's try dialing the last digit 5. Short, short, long. Okay, now that we've heard 5 distinct ring patterns, I would expect that 6 would have the same ring code as 1, a single ring. Let's see. That is coded ring pattern number 6 for Benson, Vermont. The real question is, why would any central office have more than 5? It may be a CX-1000 standard arrangement that never in practice got used. In party line service, which is what the coded ringing is for, everybody's phone is wired so that the bell either goes from ring to ground or from tip to ground. In fact, the yellow wire on the old 500 sets is precisely for that purpose. If it's a party line, the yellow wire, instead of being paired with the green wire, has its own separate ground connection. And then inside the phone, the bell is wired from ring to ground or tip to ground. With everybody's phone wired that way, you only need half as many coded rings as the maximum number of people you're going to put on a party line. So 5 different ring codes is enough to accommodate a 10-party line. In fact, Benson, Vermont has 9 different ring codes. This suggests that they were thinking about 18-party lines. There's no other explanation I can come up with, because there's never been a time when a telephone bell had to be connected between tip and ring. Anyway, let's dial the last digit 7 and hear yet another ring code probably never used, but it's waiting there just in case the phone company wanted to actually make the party line from hell. Long, short. As far as I know, the CX-1000 is the only switch that puts you on the phone line before you've dialed the whole phone number, and also in between rings. There are many switches that let you hear the phone line while it's ringing, but that's always through attenuation. Here, the attenuation comes on just before the ring signal starts, and then goes off again. In between ring bursts, the attenuation remains. Let's try dialing the last digit 8. Now that was long, short, short, which was also the pattern if you dialed 9 as the last digit of the number. The logic of the CX-1000 was very unlike step. Until you hit the final switch where you dial the actual line number, there is only one switching stage, comparable to only going through one selector in a step. But that one switching thing, whatever it was called, had 4 different modes of operation. In each mode, you would have a different set of responses depending upon what digit you dialed. Now, by contrast, a step selector really only has 2 modes, and even then, the only difference is whether to absorb and block or not. You can't have a single digit, like 2, go to one trunk group in one mode and another trunk group in another mode. This thing can. Just as in Pinetown, North Carolina, there were certain digits that would actually go to 2 different trunk groups, depending upon what mode you were in. When you get a dial tone, of course, you'd be in the first mode of operation, and then certain digits would sound like they absorbed, but would put it into the next mode, and then everything would change as far as what did what. On the calls we have been making, the initial switching, whatever it's called, doesn't make any connections until the thousands group of the phone number. Then you're on the final stage, the one that corresponds roughly to the connector switch in step. In every mode, there were some digits that did things and others were intercepted by reorder. Here's one of those interceptions on a second digit dialed. This switch actually has a distinct reorder and busy, unlike the other all relay switches I've been to. Here's dialing my own number. That was dialed normally, and of course I only got as far as the sixth digit of the phone number before the busy came on. Now there actually is one more ring pattern, and Benson is not the only office that has it. Believe it or not, there actually are other places that have the coded ringing patterns that this place has. One of them is local from here, and let's dial the last digit 0 in that office. Now that's another all relay office. I dialed it using only one digit of the office code. If you dial it more normally, it sounds like this. This time I'll dial the last digit 1. Actually, I'll flash it. Sorry about the even worse sound quality on that call. This whole CX-1000 thing has been marked by a lot of bad luck. Two things that were wrong this time. My tape recorder literally messed up the recording for the first few minutes of the tape. And the other thing was I had a somewhat impatient girlfriend waiting in the car. If I had it to do again, I would have tried to make a special trip to that area. But the force was not with me when it came to recording all relay switching. Port Royal was unrecordable, and then when I came back prepared to use a microphone, no phone. Pike Road, North Carolina, had no payphones. Sydney Crossroads couldn't even be found, and then when I finally did, no payphone. Pinetown was all right, though. This next call is, I believe, to that same office. This time I'm dialing a bad digit into the trunk, and you'll notice the reorder once again demonstrates an all-relay system having weird timing on its tones. There were two other offices in the local calling area. One of them was a Bell System CDO with the newer tones. This was the first call on the tape, so, well, sorry about this. Thank you. The other one was another all-relay system. You can hear that same sort of connecting noise on the thousands digit here, in spite of the bad tape recorder. I wish this presentation had a finale. Actually, I wish those mysterious dial tones that had gotten me interested in Benson in the first place had turned up locally, but I'm sure they weren't there. I tried every possible digit, in every possible mode. And actually, by 1976, something had changed about the Rutland step tandem. See, it used to be that if you dialed 5 on the Rutland step tandem, you'd get a Benson dial tone. But Rutland changed its switching train. That was a 5. Where's my dial tone? I'll now dial 3-7. Now, after dialing the entire office code, we're in Benson. But there's no dial tone. With Rutland now only sending the last 4 digits, the CX-1000 in Benson had to handle it differently. In the process of making that change, the dial tone went away. I'll dial 1. Before we go, let's dial the last digit 0 on that same phone line that we've been calling over and over within Benson. Well, this one sure was not what I expected. I was hoping to come find something like this. And instead I found a system that had a really interesting digit logic, which sadly I don't have the map of. But I did enjoy this stuff. Anyway, that's it for this segment. This is a note to acknowledge a possible error in this presentation, and the reason I'm putting this here is that there are long-distance tapes of calling CX-1000s where the same set of rings might be encountered, and there might be an apparent mismatch. From looking at the tape carefully, it does appear that I've got the ring codes right, but it is possible that I just plain forgot to dial the last digit 0, and its ring is not on this tape. So there might have been 10 different ring signals, making the office ready for 20 party lines. The only reason I think I may have made an error is that I seem to remember the code for 9 being... But according to the order that it appears on the tape, it's the code for 0. You never know, time may tell.